good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, February the 10th, 2016, 12:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Scott Spears with you here on the Now program today, and it's going to be a fun two-hour program today because we are going to remember the late, great First Lady of television comedy, Lucille Ball, who for more than 18 years had successive television series in the top 20 Nielsen ratings of television, from I Love Lucy to Here's Lucy to The Lucy Show. She was an absolute dynamic figure and unforgettable figure in the history of television comedy. Of course, people remember her marriage to Desi Arnaz. So many things that we just plainly love about Lucy, and over the next 2 hours, we're going to be joined by people who knew her very well. Next hour, coming up at 1:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be joined by Frank Gorey, who was Lucille Ball's chauffeur for more than 30 years, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And in this hour, hour number one, we're going to be joined by Wanda Clark, who was Lucille Ball's personal assistant for more than 25 years, 1963 until we lost Lucy in 1989. And we're going to have a joy talking to her. But before we do that, I want to go back to a classic moment in Lucille Ball history. It's Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz from I Love Lucy. Let's go back in time.
For weeks. Oh, we just couldn't get a hold of you. We ran out of the house. Nobody could find you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. See, and I got a wonderful present for you. You want to hear it?
Hear it?
I love Lucy and she loves me. We're as happy as two can be. Sometimes we quarrel, but then how we love making up again. Lucy kisses like no one can. She's my missus and I'm her man. And life is heaven, you'll see. 'Cause I love Lucy, yes, I love Lucy. And Lucy loves me.
There's only one Lucille Ball, and again, I'm very proud to say we're joined today by Lucille Ball's personal secretary, 1963 to 1989, Wanda Clark. Wanda, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Scott, and what fun it was to hear that again. It made me smile.
You know,
of course, I didn't work during I Love Lucy, but I managed to catch up over the years.
You know, what a catchy song that is, and when you watch the reruns, you don't get to hear the lyrics, but they are very catchy lyrics.
They are. Desi could sing. I enjoyed Desi. I ended up, quite some years ago, I bought all of his, there's five or six CDs that they sell at the Lucy Desi Museum in Jamestown, and I bought them all, so I've got them. I can play them once in a while.
You know, it's unfortunate. I think in a way, Desi has been semi-forgotten. I don't think he's totally forgotten because of the reruns, but he was a great singer, and he was a great performer, and as time goes on, I hope we're able to maybe bring him back a little bit.
Well, I would too, and because he did. He had that, led his own band for many years, traveling all over the country and doing other TV work, and that's, Lucy insisted he play Ricky Ricardo so he would stay in town. because he was on the road so much with his band. You but know, Lucy always gave Desi the credit for the success of their show, and their Desi Lou Studios was the biggest, had more TV production in those days than anyone has ever equaled. And I was there, Desi was still very much on the scene when I started working for Lucy, even though they had both remarried. But he was a visionary, and a lot of people don't realize that. Desi was a real visionary, and Lucy always gave him credit for that in every interview she ever did.
You know, Wanda, it's interesting you say that. You came on board with Lucille Ball in 1963. They had already been divorced, and I think that's where a lot of people leave it, is they had a great marriage, they had kids, they had this great TV series, I Love Lucy, and then they did this variety show, and things were not pleasant on the set, and the divorce happened, and that's just kind of where people leave it. But he did not leave her life.
Oh, no. They shared children, for one thing, and the children were very close to their father. And besides all that, Lucy went to Desi for advice until he died. She always counted on him to give her good advice, tell her what the truth was, not just what she might want to hear, as so many people would do. But Desi would tell her exactly what he thought, and he was he had insight that is hard to describe. But Lucy would call him for advice, and they would talk, and he went on to work. You remember the Mothers-in-Law? He was doing that somewhere in the mid-60s, I believe. And he kept an apartment on one of the Desi Lou studio lots, because he had a home at Del Mar, California, and Palm Springs. But he kept an apartment there on the lot so he wouldn't have to drive back and forth. And he directed, I think it was the first two seasons. I know it was the first season of The Lucy Show. After they had separated, remarried, Desi still directed that first one or two seasons of The Lucy Show. So he was very much on the scene.
When they were not married, what did you observe their relationship being like when they were together?
Well, Lucy counted on Desi for good advice. They stayed very friendly. Their marriage was stormy, but it was mainly, I'm not telling tales out of school, it was mainly because Desi was really, Lucy always said, I heard her say it many times, that Too Many Girls was not the name of the movie they met on. It was just, Desi was a ladies' man, and there was no way around that. Everyone knew it, and he embarrassed Lucy in public a lot. But once they were divorced, that didn't seem to matter. They got along better after the divorce than they did when they were married, I think, in many ways.
You know, Wanda, when I was preparing to do this interview, I was watching some clips on YouTube last night, and I found a clip, or actually the whole interview is on there, of Barbara Walters interviewing Lucille Ball in the late 1970s. Now, you would have been around at that time.
Right.
Desi is still alive, and Gary Morton is sitting next to her. Seem to be at an outside table somewhere at their house, and she's talking about, I mean, she calls Desi a loser in the interview. He had to lose big and that sort of thing. But she's also giving him an awful lot of praise. And Barbara Walters in that interview says, at the end, I think she comes back and says she didn't think Lucy ever got over Desi. And it was kind of strange because Gary Morton, her current husband, is sitting right next to her while she's going into that. Is that a pretty apt observation? Do you remember that interview?
Oh, I remember it so well. And they were outside in Lucy's backyard near the pool. Gary and Lucy were married a lot longer than Lucy and Desi were married. And he did not embarrass her in public. He was always there. which was very important to Lucy, to know that she could count on him to be there when she needed him. And so what Barbara said, that's the way I always felt. Lucy, it wasn't that she never got over Desi. She just had a... There was a love affair between those two people that it's just too bad they couldn't live together happily. That love affair never ended, the deep love Lucy had for Desi, and I think he for her. But that didn't mean that she wasn't happy with Gary Morton. It's just that Desi was they met and instantly just fell for each other, and that was that.
I want to go back here. How did you get your job with Lucille Ball?
Well, that's a fairy tale, honestly. It's a storybook fairy tale. I went to California in 1960 with a sister and a brother-in-law just for the fun of it. I grew up in Oklahoma, and this was in 1960. I drove out with them. They had been home on leave from he was in the Air Force, stationed at Vandenberg Air Force Base. And I just loved California. I lived there almost 50 years. But when my sister and her husband were discharged from the Air Force, they went right back home to Oklahoma. I went to Los Angeles and started looking for a job and found one at Look Magazine, and met Cleo Smith there. Cleo was Lucy's sister. Well, Scott, actually, she was a cousin, but raised like sister. Lucy called her sister until she died. Lucy's mother and Cleo's mother were loving sisters, and they lived together. And Cleo's mother died when she was very young, so Dee Dee, Lucy's mother, raised Cleo as her own, with her own two children. And Lucy was very, very close to family. But anyway, I met Cleo, we stayed in touch, and I left Look Magazine after a couple of years. And by that time, Cleo was working for Lucy at the studio. And at one point, I was going to be needing a job, and I called Cleo and said, if you hear of anything, would you keep me in mind? And Cleo said, well, Lucy is looking for a secretary, because Lucy and Desi had shared a secretary, but he went with Desi when they split up. So, and Lucy said, I don't need a secretary, I do my job. But after a few meetings with the production people and being responsible and head of a studio, because she had bought Desi out by that time, she said, maybe I do need a secretary. And Cleo said to her, well, I know a girl. Do you want to interview her? And Lucy said, no. If you like her, she's hired. So I got my job without an interview, stayed almost 30 years, and loved every minute of it.
Now, 1963, Lucille Ball is just coming off I Love Lucy in the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour. She's probably, I would say, the biggest star in television at that time. What is that like going to work for her?
Well, it was pretty exciting. And the funny thing is, I grew up in Oklahoma. I was grown in the 50s, and my folks did not have a television set. So I had never seen an I Love Lucy show. I certainly knew who Lucille Ball was, but I hadn't seen a show because we didn't have a television set. So it was pretty exciting for me to go to work for Lucille Ball, a big movie star, big name, and Lucy was very warm and generous and took care of everybody like they were family. So I loved it, but I was a secretary, and I did secretary duties just like any other secretary, typing, shorthand, appointments, but it happened to be for Lucille Ball. I'm telling you, Scott, that was a very fun job and very interesting, and I had a real good time and loved every minute of it. It was a long and happy association.
There is this maybe it's a myth, maybe it's not a myth, that when Lucy got into the Lucy Show and Here's Lucy, that she was tough on the set, that she knew what she wanted and she got it. Did you find her tough on the set? Was she a gentle person? Was she a taskmaster? How would you describe her?
Well, Lucy was a perfectionist, but I certainly don't think that's a four-letter word. And she it wasn't that she was tough. She just knew what needed to be done, and she worked very, very hard. She rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed. I still have people come up to me and say, oh, that was mostly ad-lib, wasn't it? Well, it was, nothing was ad-libbed on any of Lucy's shows. They were rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed, word for word. What the script said is what they did and what they filmed. Lucy was very loyal. She was very warm and loving. And the fact that she wanted the show done the way she wanted it done, which was the only way it, the way it should be done, I don't consider that tough. If a man had been in the same position, they would have just said, oh boy, is he strong and talented. Somehow or other, being a woman must have made it seem different in some way. But Lucy was not hard. She was very loving and very warm. And things that were important to her, she took care of very, very much.
As we've talked about, Desi stayed on behind the scenes when the Lucy Show went on the air. But somebody who went on screen with her again and appeared with her pretty much right up until the end of her life, not Lucy's, but this person's life, was Vivian Vance. What was it, who was Ethel Mertz, for people who don't remember on I Love Lucy? What was that relationship? Was that a real friendship, or was that a working relationship?
Well, it was a friendship. Lucy always said that Vivian was the best script doctor. I don't know if that was an official title, but if something in the script was not working the way they wanted it to work, Lucy and Vivian could put their heads together and figure it out and make it work. And they were very good friends. When Vivian was ill, the last years of her life, Lucy drove up to Burlingame, California, where Vivian was living at the time, to visit her when she was dying. And they were close. There's stories that go around that they were not close, but that's just not true. That's, you know, legends, stories go around and no basis of fact in them. And I happened to be still friendly with Vivian Vance's youngest sister, Lou Ann Graham, who lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I met Lou Ann in the 60s when she was working in the San Francisco area and would come down to Los Angeles to visit Vivian on the set. And we just stayed in touch. And Lou Ann has come out to Oklahoma to visit me. And we share a lot of funny stories. So anyway, Lucy and Vivian were friends, and they worked well together. And I don't know what else to tell you.
Lucy brought her children in on Here's Lucy, her final... Well, it wasn't her next-to-last network series. What kind of mother was she as you observed her?
Well, Lucy had her children a little late in life. In those days, women didn't have babies after 40. Today, it seems to be more common. But anyway, Lucy waited for them a long time, and she appreciated them. She thought they were talented. But she asked them if they would be interested in doing a show with her when we started preparing for Here's Lucy. And, of course, the kids loved it. They had a schoolwork to do, as any teenager would. A real teacher was on the lot to conduct their classes. They could work a certain amount of time, but they had to get in a certain number of school work hours. And I've heard both the kids say, "What an education! What a school they were able to go to observe and work with their mother on the set." So it was a lot of fun to have them around too.
You were there during the years of the Lucy Show and Here's Lucy, which were both Lucy's Show at one point, I think, was the number two television series on television, and I think Here's mm-hmm. Lucy was in the top 20 until the last year it was on. Did Lucy like working then after I Love Lucy?
Oh yes, Lucy loved her work. She wanted to work more. Your question? Did Lucy like her work?
Yeah, did she like working on those two series, which I think spanned 12 years? Yeah.
Yeah, she liked working very much, and those were the years I think she did MAME, the Beardsley story, which Yours, Mine, and Ours, which was a wonderful movie. And she did some other TV work, and Lucy loved her work. She loved it very much, Scott. It was very important to her. I can't remember the other things that Lucy might have done during those years, but she did a lot of work. And a lot of people asked her to do other shows, and Gary Morton, he would say, "Oh, you don't want to do that, dear. It's the character was too old or this." And she listened to him, but she could have done an awful lot of shows as she was, because she was asked to do it, but she turned it down. And I think she might have wished she could have done some of them, but Gary advised her not to, so she didn't.
Being her secretary and personal assistant, was there anything big that she turned down that went on to become a great success that you think she really might have regretted turning down?
Well, Lucy didn't have many regrets in her life at all. But I do, and boy, in time you seem to forget, but I do believe they did ask Lucy to do Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, gosh.
There were a couple of TV shows that never came about that Lucy would have liked to have done. I think there were a couple of other TV shows, but I've forgotten them now, Scott. I'm sorry.
No. Driving Miss Daisy. Wow, that's that would have been a dramatic part. Did she want to do drama?
Well, she was a very good dramatic actor, but Driving Miss Daisy was one of those characters that was an older woman, and even when Lucy did reach some advanced years, she was still very, very glamorous. And that one in particular, Gary Morton says, "You don't want to do that, Lucy," so she didn't do it. I think if she'd been able to reconsider, or had Gary Morton guided her a little bit better, she might have done that movie. But as it turned out, Jessica Tandy, nobody could have been better than Jessica in that part. It was a wonderful part for her.
Why do you think Gary didn't want her to work?
Well, I don't know that for sure, because he always got credit for being executive producer or things like that in every show Lucy ever did. I think he just didn't want her to play a part where she looked older or was ill, because she was so vivacious and attractive and glamorous. I think he just didn't want to see her portrayed in any other way.
You know, Wanda, what's fascinating about me and the history of Lucille Ball is she does I Love Lucy, easily the biggest hit of the 1950s and for many years after, has 12 years with the Lucy Show and Here's Lucy of continuous top 20 television hits, when being in the top 20 on television meant something. She leaves in 1974, and you hardly ever see her on television again until Stone Pillow in the early 1980s. I think she did a Three's Company retrospective, but never did guest shots. You never see her doing that. Was that all Gary?
Oh, no, I'm sure. Now, she did Carol Burnett shows. They traded guest spots. She did an awful lot of the daytime talk shows and the nighttime Johnny Carson type shows. I think that nothing was presented to her in the way of a sitcom or a drama that they were willing to do.
Well, I'll tell you, Wanda, why this is interesting to me, because in the 80s, Lucy did not die until 1989. And the 80s was the boom time for sitcoms, Cosby Show, Golden Girls, Who's the Boss, Cheers, all these great shows. And I understand why maybe she didn't want to do a regular series after Life with Lucy, which we'll get into that in a second. But she never did a one-episode spot, never played a character. I saw her on talk shows, but just never went back and did, Bea Arthur's sister or anything like that, just a guest spot.
Well, I don't remember anyone from shows like The Golden Girls, for instance, presenting a script to Lucy. I don't recall that. She probably would have done it had she been invited to do a Golden Girls. Lucy was a Goldwyn girl in the 30s when she came from New York to Hollywood to start her movie career. Samuel Goldwyn Studios brought all young, beautiful young women in the 30s, and that's how Lucy got to Hollywood to begin with. But I keep losing track, Scott, I'm sorry, of what you're asking me to talk about.
I think the audience would be shocked because Lucille Ball in the 80s is regarded as the queen of television. TV Guide calls her that. Everybody calls her that. And aside from really Bob Hope specials and talk shows, she just didn't do guest spots. And to hear that she wasn't really offered things, that's shocking to me. I'm sure that would be shocking to the audience.
Well, for one thing, a few times when she did do some shows, the reviews were not exactly kind to Lucy. Even in the movie Mame, which of course I love, they criticized her not for her acting, but for getting old, and that broke her heart. And a lot of people, fans included, almost didn't want Lucy to see Lucy do anything except Lucy Ricardo, which was a beloved character, and Lucy did it better than anyone could have and enjoyed playing that very, very much. But the reason those shows still, they're still running, they're still fun, I can still look at one and just remember and laugh so hard, it's because Lucy believed what she was doing. All those crazy antics in those series, Lucy believed what she was doing and played it for real, and that's what made it seem so real. It wasn't, she just, as crazy as some of those I Love Lucy scripts put her in, she played it for real, like as if she believed what she was doing, and that's what made it last all this time, I think.
I was kind of looking at the history of her life, Wanda, and 1986 seems to be a pivotal year. 86, after 12 years of not doing a regular sitcom, she returns with Life with Lucy on ABC to great fanfare, but terrible reviews, ugly reviews. Why did she decide to do that after 12 years of not doing a regular sitcom?
Well, it's because she wanted to work. Lucy wanted to work. The kind of work she was being offered might not have suited her. She wanted to work very much. And all of us, I was eagerly waiting to read that script. And I have to tell you, my opinion only, I could have cried when I read that script, because they put Lucy in a situation owning a hardware store and doing shtick that she had already done and done better than anyone, but she was in her 70s at that point, and those scripts, and they gave Lucy everything she wanted. She asked for her original writers. She asked for Gail Gordon, and I'm pretty sure that Gail was so old enough that they were not going to be able to insure him. And Lucy paid for the insurance on Gail Gordon because of his age, because she wanted to work with him so much. She loved him. They worked so well together, and Gail was one of the most talented as well as the nicest gentleman I ever met in Hollywood. But anyway, they gave Lucy everything she wanted, and it just didn't work. I mean, she was still so glamorous and so beautiful. They could have made her president of the United States. They could have made her president of a network or the head of a fashion magazine. Anything but doing the kind of shtick that those scripts required her to do in the hardware store, just, it was very disappointing to me and to a lot of people, and I think that's why it got such awful reviews, too. Same situation. Lucy wanted to work, and it broke her heart that they canceled her after all those years, not just for herself, but she put all those people out of work, the crew. Lucy had the three series, I Love Lucy, Lucy Show, and Here's Lucy, had a lot of the same crew members because they loved working with Lucy. She had the oldest crew in town because they stayed with her. Anyway, Lucy regretted putting all those people out of work. But that Life with Lucy series, no criticism for anyone particular. It just was the wrong vehicle for Lucille Ball at that stage.
Lucille Ball, a very smart woman, had run a studio, first female to really do that, television studio, had done 18 years of sitcom by that point. Did she know that it was bad when she read the first script?
I think maybe after the fact, she wanted to work so much. And I think, this is just my opinion, Scott, but I think had Desi Arnaz been alive, he would have told her, you can't do that. But Lucy wanted to work so bad. And Gary, among quite a few other people, would say, whatever Lucy wants, let's do whatever Lucy wants, which is nice in a way. But she needed somebody to say, that is wrong, you can't do it. And she didn't have that at that point.
Interestingly enough, 1986, also Desi Arnaz dies.
Right.
But he died late in the year. Did he have any idea she was doing this series? Or
I don't think so. I doubt it, because Desi was sick for a long time. In fact, Lucy visited him twice during his illness. He says, I don't want her to come. But Lucy Arnaz said, Mother, if you want to see him, you go see him. And she did. But I'm quite sure Desi never saw that script because he was that ill.
When she saw him, or when he passed away, I got the date, December 2nd, 1986. So actually the last Lucy series would have already been canceled when Desi died just a few months later. What kind of toll did that year take on her? Desi dying, her show being canceled after six episodes. What was that like for her?
Well, it took a great toll on her. she was getting older. She wasn't getting the kind of work she wanted. And she said it in public and many times in interviews when they gave her the, one of the big awards. I can't remember if it was, I think it was the TV Academy, inducted into the TV Academy. Lucy felt they should induct her and Desi together. They had inducted some other couples, I believe. Anyway, she did suffer a lot of sadness at the time. She was still in good health, but she just it just bothered her that she wasn't getting the kind of work, and to see Desi suffer through that illness, and of course her kids were grown and away from home, so she did suffer a little bit of sadness in the last years of her life.
From those years, 86, when the show is canceled, Desi passes away, till 89, when she passes away, those 3 years, you rarely saw her anywhere, on television, or really even in interviews at that point. There weren't a whole lot of them. What was she doing in those 3 years?
She was playing a lot of backgammon, She had her circle of friends. They weren't necessarily celebrity friends, but she had good friends, and she stayed home. She loved staying home. And she still had an interest. Lucille Ball Productions did a few projects, not starring Lucy, but the show. Her Lucille Ball Productions, which she formed after she sold Desi Lou, was active in a way. I mean, I still had a job to do in the office. And
did she come to the office? Was she still at the office?
She didn't come to the office a lot in those years. She did until when they were on hiatus or something. She didn't. But I would take a folder of work and go to the house and work with her there. She still had pictures to sign and letters to write, and people were always asking her to speak here or speak there, and she did on occasion. She did a class at I've forgotten the exact name of the college in Northridge. I think might have been, well, I've forgotten the name of the college. And she did a few speeches just a question and answer series of different universities.
You know, Wanda, it's kind of interesting. You don't see her for a long time on television, and then in 1989 in March, she and Bob Hope go to the Academy Awards.
Yes.
What was that like for
her? Shows you how still attractive and gorgeous she was.
And then, unfortunately, a month later, she's gone.
That's right.
And I only want to bring this up because I don't know if you've seen it, not that we want to give any credence to the magazine, but Lucille Ball still endures to this day, because if you go to the grocery store checkout today, and this actually came out after I set this interview up, but she's on the cover of one of these tabloids with a huge picture, something about Lucy didn't have to die, but she still sells magazines, she's still out there. But I do want to talk a little bit about her death, because I remember that she got sick, she had a procedure done, everybody thought she was going to be well, and then out of the blue, she's gone. When did you first become aware that she was ill? What happened there?
It was only, I think, 3 weeks, less than a month after that appearance at the Academy Awards. She had a ruptured aorta, and they rushed her to the hospital. They repaired that. It was the main aorta near the heart, or to the heart. That was repaired successfully, and she was on the road to recovery. But she had a second one while she was still in the hospital, and she was just gone instantly. I mean, there she perfect, you know, private duty nurses, care in a hospital. There was just nothing to be done to save her after that second ruptured aorta, and she was gone that quickly. So it was a sad thing. She was not in bad health until that happened. And I know Gary Morton called me at home the morning she died, early, real early. And the minute I heard his voice, I knew something bad was wrong. But he asked me to go to the house and to call Frank, who you're going to talk to soon, and to call Tom Watson. Tom was working for us then, too, and tell Tom to go to the office and man the phones. I went to the house and stayed on the phones all day long. Everyone called from all over the country, the world. And that was the day Lucy died. Then it took us about a year to dissolve the corporation, close up the office, and that was the time.
You had been with her for 25 years, over 25 years, the morning she died. Mm-hmm. I want to step back a minute. Did you visit her in the hospital after the first?
No. She was limited with visit her family, her children. She was limited, and I think she was only there a few days. I don't remember, 5 days maybe. So I didn't visit her in the hospital. I was in the office taking care of all the phone calls, but Gary and the children were able to visit her, but I didn't.
But you thought she was getting well as the country.
Oh yes, I thought she was getting well. The successful repair of that ruptured aorta was so encouraging to everybody.
So getting the word the morning that she had died, what was that like for you?
Well, it was shocking and very sad. But I have to tell you, Scott, the real tragedy in my mind would have been had Lucy been crippled and unable to take care of herself. That would have been very tragic, I think.
Tell me about the last time you did see or speak with her. What was that like?
Well, the week before she was on the phone with me several times a day, even when I didn't go to the house with work. Just reminders about this one wants to talk to you. That date is coming up. It was just business as usual until she had the attack and was rushed to the hospital, and then I didn't talk to her directly anymore.
Did she have anything on her agenda when that happened unexpectedly that was something big coming up? Did she have plans to do anything else in her life? Because she was fairly young. I mean, she was 78.
Well, she did have plans to go back to Jamestown, New York. They were planning some kind of a citywide, they were naming her Lucille Ball Day or something to that effect. Jamestown, New York is where she was born. And that was in the works, but of course it didn't happen. I think Lucy Arnaz went there and accepted that honor for her mother. There were other just appointments that, of course, were canceled. I can't tell you what they were right now. She was going to do a book, biography with Bob Thomas, who was a famous Hollywood reporter, who had, Lucy agreed to do a book with him. I kind of don't think she ever would have completed it, because she just didn't, that wasn't the main force in her life, was to write a book. She would have liked to have worked, if a good movie or a good TV series had come about, but that didn't happen.
After that Academy Award appearance with Bob Hope, because she did pass away so quickly afterward, was she encouraged by that? Because that was really her first step out into the public again after about 3 years?
Well, she wasn't encouraged or discouraged in any way. It was just another event that she agreed to do. She had a gown made. Rhett Turner, a famous designer who was a friend of Lucy's, designed this gown. It was very heavy. It was beaded and heavy. And she made jokes about, oh, what you're putting that gown on was so heavy. But as you might recall, it was slid up to the thigh to show her those legs. Lucy really looked terrific. But it was just another day, another event, another thing that Lucy had scheduled to do.
How do you remember Lucy? When you look back on her today, having known the person, how do you remember her?
Oh, I remember Lucy with great fondness. And it was, like I said, it was just a long and happy association. I did a good job for her, and she was a very good employer. I had some other pretty terrific jobs after Lucy, after we closed up Lucy's office, but I just have nothing but fond memories. And I'm still fairly active with the Lucy Museum, and I'm close to her children. They've kept me in their life, and I'm very glad for that. So, and people like you, Scott, call me to talk about Lucy. I love talking about Lucy.
Well, I tell you,
even my little job here at my little home here at the lake in Northeast Oklahoma, I talk to Rotary groups and just to talk about Lucy. People love hearing it, and I love doing it.
Wanda, I think we've just scratched the surface, and we'll definitely have to have you back. I have thoroughly enjoyed this, and I will definitely bring you back for more Lucy talk, and stay well, and I'd love to do it again sometime.
Thank you, Scott. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wanda Clark, Lucille Ball's personal secretary for more than 25 years. Coming up next, Frank Gorey, Lucille Ball's chauffeur for more than 30 years. Stay tuned. More Lucy talk.
Why are you pretending to be Italian? I don't get it. She was so nasty. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Do you like, don't like snow?